It is the 27th of January. We have a bucket load to talk about, some injury news, some very, very good performances. Just a lot. Let's get into it all because, as always, I'm on a time restriction. This is the Monday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blind, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are also proudly part of the Old Man Squad Network at Old Man Squad on Twitter, at Old Man Squad on Blue Sky. Pretty sure. Go and chat to Dan. He's a nice bloke. A lot to get through. 12 games. Let's move straight into said games. The Lakers with an early game. That's sort of weird. But a win. Unsurprisingly, I think 112-107. Probably surprising that Charlotte kept it this close, given they lost LaMelo Ball pretty early in the piece. But we'll get to that very shortly. Let's start with the Lakers. And let's start with Anthony Davis, 42 points, 23 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 17 of 28 from the field. Not much to say. Very, very impressive. They're probably lucky that he did that because they got absolutely nothing from the bench. Jared Vanderbilt, another 2 steals. Maybe he's in that streaming discussion. I'd like to see him closer to sort of 18 minutes before we actually advocate and say, okay, go and pick him up if you need steals. LeBron James was fine. Finney Smith did nothing as expected with Hachimura out. Max Christie, he sort of settled into the role is fine, but the production has waned a little bit. Deeper leagues, he's okay. Standard leagues, I don't think we need to hold him. Austin Reeves had 17, 5, and 6. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well. The 3 steals somewhat make up for that. So a nice performance from him. And as I said, the bench, no thank you. For Charlotte, they were... they were in this. LaMelo Ball, 9 minutes. He rolled his ankle. I'm sure if, like me, you have him on rosters, you went and looked at the replay straight away to see how bad it was. It didn't look particularly bad. It sort of looked like he trod on Jared Vanderbilt's foot. Very innocuous, very on brand for LaMelo Ball. He was down. He got up quite quickly, tried to play defense, sort of hobbled off under his own power. So it didn't look too bad, which I think is good. Well, I don't think we're looking at weeks upon weeks here. Almost certainly he's going to miss time. There's no way that they play him with any risk of further injury. So I would say a week minimum, maybe 2, given his history and the fact that it's Charlotte. So I would prepare for an absence here if you have him. Hopefully you can move into your IR spot. We are lucky in that we only have about 5 games-ish, 5-6 games to the All-Star break. So look, maybe you're without him for 5 or 6 games, but then he gets another week off. And I would assume that given if the timeline fits, this is exactly what Charlotte will do. They will shut him down until the All-Star break, give him that extra week off the All-Star game, which he very well could be, at which point he probably plays, but maybe he only plays limited minutes. I'm not sure. We will see. In the meantime, what do we do? Well, I guess it's Vasili Micic. He's very, very unappealing. But if you need assists and threes, he's fine then, I guess. He had 11 points in this one. Nick Smith did nothing. 4 points, 6 assists, a block. Look, he probably gets a bit of a bump with LaMelo out, but we could probably also argue that without LaMelo there, defenses are just going to be able to sort of focusing on other guys like him and Bridges, and probably impacts his value, at least offensively. I would hold him, though. I think he's a hold. Bridges will do more. So if you have Bridges, he could be in for a nice little run here. I wouldn't worry too much about efficiency. Okogie's the interesting one. 25 minutes, 19 points, 4 steals. Now, the 19 points are not going to happen all too often, but the steals are real. We know that he is a good defensive player. Josh Green played 33 minutes. I don't think Okogie will start. I can't see them running Nick Smith as the point guard here and then running with Josh Green, Josh Okogie. I think it will be Micić that comes in. But Okogie might be worth a flyer here. If he's going to play 25 minutes a night on a team that has very little in terms of identity, I don't know. He makes sense as a bit of a defensive streamer. So have a look at him. Grab him, see what happens. If he goes back to 20 minutes, fine, we move on. But if he sticks in this 25-plus range, I think there might be just enough there. Detroit head into Cleveland and lose. 110-91. Yeah, to be fair, it wasn't really that close. Asar Thompson, I talked about him on the pregame show. I added him, and of course he did nothing as I projected. 0 points on 0 of 6 shooting. 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Look, the league that I have him in, this isn't disastrous. Still not ideal. I like the defensive stats. Only 20 minutes, that's well down from where he was in that last game. He's probably still a hold. Just didn't have it going tonight. Duren, I thought, was quite good. Cade Cunningham, not great, not his best night, but still fine. Tim Hardaway, as we probably expected, he has cooled off a little bit. He's still okay if you just need threes, but you could also, I think you're fine to move on. Speaking of moving on, Tobias Harris, it's really close. 2 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. And it's not as though the minutes weren't there. He played 27. He was just terrible. He was a team worst minus 20. Oh, I don't know. I guess I'm hypothetically trying to put myself in a position where if I had him on a roster, which I don't, what would I be doing? I'd be hesitant to drop him, but it would depend who's available on your waiver wire. If he was on my waiver wire, would I run and add him? No, I wouldn't run and add him. I would maybe take a chance on him, but the expectations are pretty low here. So I think it's one of those meh. If you want to, fine. If you don't want to, also fine. Beasley, pretty clear hold, 19 points, 23 minutes. Coming off the bench, but he's been a very good source of points and threes all season. I don't see that changing. For Cleveland, they were pretty healthy here, starters, in terms of the starters. So very little to talk about. Strus has been a little bit better the last couple of games, 10 points, 8 rebounds, a steal and a block, 26 minutes. No LeVert helped here. I think once LeVert is back, Strus probably goes back to being a drop. But until LeVert is there, you can stream in Strus. All right. New Orleans at Toronto. Pelicans, they're heading very quickly towards a shutdown tank here. 113-104. The Raptors get the win. We'll start with the Pelicans. Zion, look good again. 31 points, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks. Look, selling high on him is certainly an option at the moment, given the trajectory of the team and the fact that we just know that he gets injured, he misses back-to-back. So you could look at selling high. If you think you can move him for a top 40 player, I probably would. Otherwise, just hold him and cross your fingers. Trey Murphy had 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. So a nice balanced performance for Trey Murphy. DeJounte played, didn't shoot the ball well at all, which is a pretty common theme for him, but did everything else. CJ McCollum also a decent game. They just got absolutely no support off the bench. Alvarado, 0 points. Hawkins, 7 points. And that's the risk you take when you stream any of these guys, is that you will get some strong games, but you will also get some duds like this. For the Raptors, Jakob Poeltl, he played. He was questionable, but played and played well. 21 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. I'm lucky. I got him into my active lineup just in time tonight, so I'm pretty happy about that. Scotty Barnes didn't shoot the ball well. 21 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. Good from the line too, 8 of 9. So it was just that the field goals, but they are a bit up and down. As they are with RJ Barrett, he had 17 points on 8 of 19 shooting, and very RJ Barrett, 0 of 3 from the free throw line. So, yeah, he hasn't fixed that issue. We thought he might have, but he hasn't. Grady Dick, just move on. 10 points, 6 rebounds in 19 minutes. I think we're good to go. Move on from him. Bruce Brown is very intriguing. I have to say he's playing well. The minutes are up. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals in 29 minutes. If we could guarantee he was going to be at this level in terms of playing time every night, he has to be added. Unfortunately, we can't. But if you want to just take a chance on him, by all means, do that. I have in one league. I've just picked him up. It's a 14-team league, so slightly deeper. Chris Boucher had 14 points, 4 rebounds. I would have Brown over Boucher, over Agbaji, over Olynyk, who didn't play in this one. I think he's on that streaming radar now. Memphis head into New York and get absolutely thumped, 143 to 106, which means the minutes here for the Memphis side, they're all over the place. Who do we want? I mean, Edie was pretty good, 9 and 11 with 3 blocks. Ja Morant continues to be very, very underwhelming, 10 points, 5 rebounds. He's just, I don't know, buy low, absolutely he is. Jalen Wells had 5 points. I'd still hold him. I think if you're just grabbing him for points and threes, that's okay. And then, as I said, with some of these guys returning on the bench, it's hard to know from one night to the next. We got 22 minutes for Santi Aldama, 19 for Luke Kennard, 17 for Scottie Pippen, 17 for Brandon Clark, 17 for GG Jackson, 13 for Jake LaRavia. And then we didn't even really get a lot of John Conchar or Jay Huff. So it's going to be very hard to know who we stream on this team. And I know I'd actually just avoid it. Unless we get some more injuries, I don't think that you will be able to pinpoint one player for more than one game. For the Knicks, Josh Hart didn't play particularly well, dealing with that knee injury. We'll see if that pops up again and whether it does cause him to miss some time. He had 4 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists and a steal. So not all doom and gloom, but not his best. OG Anunoby had 6 steals and 1 block. Very nice to see him churning through the defensive stats. And the other starters were good. McBride played a little bit more, 14 points with 3 steals and a block. But do remember this was a blowout, so we're not going to get 20 minutes of Precious Achiuwa. If you played him tonight, for whatever reason, then you're pretty happy because he also added 4 steals and 2 blocks. But again, this is more to do with the matchup than Achiuwa forcing his way into more minutes. All right, Sacramento at Brooklyn. I won't say comfortable, but a good win for the Kings. Any win is a good win. Keegan Murray continues to be a little bit mid. He's a hold, not an exciting one, but he's a hold. Monk didn't do as much offensively tonight, but still had 9 assists to go with his 16 points, a steal and a block. So continues to be a very good waiver wire pickup. I'm sure he was available on waivers in one or two leagues. Keon Ellis, 30 minutes. So 3 steals, 2 blocks, 11 points. This is, if this was expected, you have to add him. He could go back to 18 minutes, 20 minutes in the next game. So if you streamed him in tonight, you're very happy. If you want to hold him and see if they are going to play him 30 minutes a night, which they should, then by all means, go ahead. I'm not convinced, but we will see. As for Brooklyn, I would just avoid Brooklyn altogether at this point. It's just, they're just a joke. Cam Johnson is out for another week. Yeah, I honestly, I don't know what to say. Noah Clowney injured his ankle, only played 6 minutes. You can drop him. D'Angelo Russell is probably someone we're holding. Outside of him and Claxton, I guess, but God, he was pretty ordinary as well. I can't trust Jalen Wilson, Keon Johnson, Ebwoma, Tyrese Martin, Zaire Williams. Take your shot if you want to. I'm just moving on, I think, from all of Brooklyn. Dayron Sharpe, though, he continues to be one of my stash targets. I'm doing the show tomorrow morning, or morning my time, tomorrow afternoon with Dan over on the Old Man Squad Network, talking about my stash guys. I think that's what we're calling it. And Dayron Sharpe will be on that list. So I will be talking about him more tomorrow. 12 and 10, 3 steals, 1 block in his 23 minutes. Looks good. Looks very good. Orlando blew this game. They should have won. They go down to Miami in double overtime, 125 to 119. For the Magic, we had no Jalen Suggs, which is not really that surprising, but Anthony Black got the start. I talked about this 2 days ago, that it had been Cole Anthony, but now that Paolo and Franz are back, they don't need Cole Anthony out there just jacking up crap. So they got a better point guard in Anthony Black. He had 14 points, 3 assists, 5 steals, 1 block. He is a must-add player. If Suggs is going to remain out, which he could, we have to go and add Anthony Black. Now, obviously, he's not going to get 5 steals every game, but he is a much better point guard option than Cole Anthony. Franz, Paolo, they were fine. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's going to do less now, so probably doesn't need to be held. Tristan Da Silva, 17 points off the bench, one of his better games, 34 minutes, is also interesting. I'm not rushing to add him. You could. Jonathan Isaac had 12 and 8 with a steal in his 18 minutes. I'm not, again, not rushing to add him. We want to look at this center rotation. Wendell Carter started 36 minutes, 14, 7 and 5 with a steal. Goga came off the bench, 22 minutes, 10 and 9 with a block. Now, this would probably indicate, okay, do we move on from Goga and do we make sure that Wendell Carter is added? I don't think so. I think this was more first game back. Their minutes were actually pretty close at the end of the game. It was just that they played Wendell during the overtime periods, and hindsight, they probably shouldn't have because they lost the game. Wendell Carter was a minus 25. Goga Badadze was plus 21. So that's for those of you doing quick maths, that's the 46-point difference. So if you have Goga, I would actually be relatively encouraged by this performance. And I think he moves into the starting lineup at some point. Common sense, he should. We will see if that is what they do. For Miami, no Jimmy Butler, of course, and I don't think we'll ever have to factor him in when we're doing a Miami box score ever again because his time is probably done in Miami. So we got Hayward Highsmith starting and did nothing, but that's what Hayward Highsmith does. Tyler Hero, he will do a lot more. Duncan Robinson will get more shots. Khalil Ware had 19 and 10 with 2 steals and a block. He's very good. Khalil Ware. I'm very, very happy that he's playing starters minutes now. And Jovic, who is the guy that I've said we should probably look at as the main beneficiary of the Jimmy Butler absence, he played well, 15, 7, and 2 with 2 steals. Terry Rozier, not great. 11 points, 3 assists. No reason to be holding him. He should be putting up numbers, but he's not. So move on. All right, game of the night probably. Houston get the win over Boston, 114 to 112 on an Amen Thompson sort of little mid-range jump shot, capping off another performance that we I don't know, we're sort of getting used to these now, which is a bit scary. 33 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. What happens when Jabari Smith comes back? I'm not sure. But for now, he's rolling along and we just hold him and enjoy it. Dylan Brooks, out of nowhere, 10 threes. Don't go chasing this. If you had him today, then congratulations. But, yeah, he's not going to do this. We got 12 points from Jalen Green, 11 from Şengün, 7 from Van Fleet. So Dylan Brooks is not a, whatever that is, 60% shooter, 66% from three, and then missed his free throw. Did nothing else as per Dylan Brooks. So very good performance, but nothing that we need to get too excited about. Tari Eason had 6 points, 6 rebounds with a steal. He has slowed since he returned. The first couple of games were very encouraging. Since then, he hasn't done a lot. I would be holding him, though. 25 minutes is enough for him to have value. For Boston, there was no Derek White. So Luke Kornet got the spot start and a nice performance. He is sort of, he and Pritchard are the guys that benefit when anyone is out. Pritchard had 15 points in this one with 3 assists. He's still a hold. Again, not a very exciting one. Kornet is just a streamer on nights like this. Al Horford was available, supposedly, but then didn't play. So we will assume that he plays in their next game. And other than that, I mean, Drew Holiday, are we still thinking that he's a drop? I think so. I think we're okay moving on from him. All right, Atlanta at Minnesota. Timberwolves get a narrow victory, 100-92 for the Hawks. Dyson Daniels was a late-ish scratch with ankle soreness. They are on a back-to-back, so this may have just been precautionary. And if that is the case, we would assume he plays tomorrow. Likewise for Trae Young, who missed this game with hamstring soreness. I hope they're back. Reece Oshae, he returned 11 points, 2 steals, 7 rebounds. Not a bad line, but 20 minutes is not enough for him to be rostered. He needs about 50. Okongwu, bad performance, but look, it's fine. He had been playing really well, so that's okay. Keaton Wallace started. We talked about him in the pregame show as though he was not going to have a 27-point performance. But he wasn't terrible, 13.7 assists with 2 steals. So if you streamed him in, pretty happy. Hold, see if we get any indication on whether Trae and or Dyson are going to play tomorrow. If Dyson is back, I still think we hold Keaton Wallace. If they're both back, you can probably move on. DeAndre Hunter, I'm glad I had him active tonight. 35 points on 12 of 21 shooting. Didn't do anything else, but the points are very nice indeed. Capella had 10 and 15 with a steal and a block off the bench. Larry Nance was out with his hand issue, but again, first night of a back-to-back, so keep an eye on the injury report for tomorrow. For the Timberwolves, talked about Jaden McDaniels, the fact that he's been able to stretch or extend these productive periods. I'd say this was productive, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 4 steals and a block. We just hold him, apparently. Gobert had a nice game, 18 and 10 with 2 blocks. So nice to see him churning out another double-double. Well, look, I mean, we'll talk about Mike Conley. He had 4 steals. He had 4 assists, but he also had 4 points. He's probably a hold. Alexander Walker left this game, only played 22 minutes. If he is out, Dillingham will have to play more, but Conley is just going to have to play 30-plus minutes. So I'd be holding Conley despite the 1-of-9 shooting. And Dillingham, I wouldn't be adding him in standard leagues if Alexander Walker is out, but I would look at him in deeper leagues, I think. Okay, Denver. Going down to the Bulls. I had to double-check when I was looking through the box scores. Because, I mean, the Nuggets, they played well. Well, the numbers were strong. The bench was terrible production-wise. Jokic, another triple-double. Christian Brown, 28 points, 2 steals. He is back on a heater, so going at him if he was dropped. It'll come to an end at some point, as we would expect. Westbrook had 14, 3, and 5 with a steal. So all the starters were fine. We just got nothing. Aaron Gordon, 6 points, 4 assists, 2 steals off the bench. Peyton Watson, Julian Strouther, they just didn't really do anything. Watson had some defensive contributions, 4 of them, 3 steals and a block. But he nor Julian Strouther are worth rostering, and Aaron Gordon, look, he's a hold, but coming off the bench playing minutes in the low 20s to mid-20s, he's going to be a bit rough. For Chicago, good win, very good win. And they did it. They moved Patrick Williams to the bench. I'm not convinced this sticks. Dosunmu got the start. Now, he was good. And I've said if he plays 30 minutes, he has to be rostered. He played 34 of them. He had 17, 2, and 2 with 2 steals. So very nice night for him. Lonzo Ball, 25 minutes. That's enough. 18 points, 4 rebounds, 0 assists, weirdly. But he had a steal and a block and shot the ball well. Giddey had 12 and 10 with 3 steals. LaVine, look, pretty good, but he is going to miss their next few games. His wife is going into labor or is about to give birth to their third child, I believe. So he is going to miss the next 2-3 games. I think that's what they're saying. So what will they do? Because Coby White is unlikely to play in those games either. So they will either move Patrick Williams straight in to the starting lineup. Honestly, that's probably what they do. I would love it if they move Bezelis into the starting lineup, but I don't think that we are there yet. So I don't think we need to go and add Patrick Williams because he's been a starter all year and he's done nothing. He had 11 and 8 in this game with a steal, which is actually pretty good for Patrick Williams, but I'm not running to add him at all. Washington at Dallas, comfortable win for the Mavericks, not really surprising, 130 to 108 for the Wizards. Alex Saar left with an ankle, I think it was an ankle injury, 4 points. But if he misses time, we know who we add, and it is Jonas Valanciunas. Kyle Kuzma went back to the old, new version, no, went back to the new version of Kyle Kuzma, 7 points. A steal and a block, 3 of 11 shooting. Look, he had 30 in the last game. I don't think you need to hold him, to be honest. If you're desperate for points, sure. Koulibaly was strong, 16, 4 and 5 with 2 steals and a block. Jordan Poole, he did his thing, 15, 6 and 6. And Kispert, he sort of got hot off the bench there, but I think... Look, I think Saar we hold, Koulibaly we hold, Poole we hold, Valanciunas we add slash hold if Saar misses time. They could run with Kuzma at centre a little bit. Rashawn Holmes, they dusted him off and played 10 minutes here. So I don't know what they're going to do. They're not expecting to win games. So, if Valanciunas comes out and plays 30 minutes, he's going to be a beast, but I don't think they'll do that. For Dallas, Klay Thompson, he was on a 24-minute limit. He had 23 points in those 24 minutes. 7 threes, all of which I think came in the first quarter. So that's impressive. Spencer Dinwiddie, very weird game. 2 steals, 9 assists. That's nice. He shot 67% from the field. That's nice. Hit both his free throws, hit both of his threes, yet he only had 8 points. He took 3 shot attempts. It's one of the weirder stat lines that I've seen. Gafford, strong, unsurprisingly. PJ Washington, also strong, 19 and 9 with 2 steals and a block. Grimes, not so strong, 9 points, 6 assists. We don't really need to be holding him. Maxence Prosper is interesting. Olivier, he had 20 points, 5 rebounds. Now, this is against Washington, but of course, they have no depth at center at all or in the front court. So maybe he can be something. If you want to take a flyer on him, sure. I'm not convinced that this is sort of anything, really. But he can play center if they need him to. All right. Oh, and did we? I think we did get a Markieff Morris sighting, but we don't care. Milwaukee at Utah, comfortable win for the Bucks, 125 to 110. Giannis was very good. Dame was very good. Lopez, God, he's settled into just a bucket of nothing, hasn't he? 10 points, 3 blocks. You can't drop him, but he's just so disappointing every game. Chris Middleton, he had a nice game, 22 points. Didn't do anything else, but the shooting is nice. And again, this was against Utah, who don't care and don't want to win. And are arguably the worst organization in the league at the moment, along with Brooklyn and... Yeah, they're probably the two. And Portland. Let's throw Portland in there as well. Gary Trent had been playing well. He had 8 points, 2 threes. So a bit of a bummer if you streamed him in for Utah. So Walker Kessler was asleep for this one, so he didn't play. Jordan Clarkson returned. Look, it's impossible to get a read on this. Micah Potter, no. Drew Eubanks, he had 10 rebounds. Kessler will be back, presumably, for their next game. So you can just move on from him. Collier started, played 28. Sexton started, played 27. Keontae George, off the bench, played 31. All three were serviceable here. What happens in the next? I think we just hold all three of them at the moment. Maybe this is what they're going to do. But then Clarkson had 13 and 5 in his 22 minutes. So where does he fit into all of that? Bryce Sensabaugh had 17 points with 2 steals in his 15 minutes. 15 minutes is not enough for him to have value. So it's hard. It's really hard. Markkanen was okay, but he's probably got a missed game coming up. John Collins could return at any point. So I'm probably holding their 3 guards. Lowry. Yeah, that's it. John Collins, I guess we have to hold as well. All right, last game. A game where we actually can take some stuff from the box score. Phoenix 111, the Clippers 109. For the Clippers, Kawhi Leonard played 28 minutes. So the minutes are increasing slowly. And he had his best game of the season, probably. 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. Shooting is still not great, especially from distance, 1 of 5 from 3, but he's looking better. Zubats, he had a field day against Nick Richards. That's not really surprising. Norm Powell, 23 points, 4 steals. James Harden had 24, 10, and 6 with 2 steals and a block. And Derek Jones, he was back to doing just enough here. 12 points, 2 steals, 1 block. He's okay. He's okay to hold. Not holding anyone named Amir Coffey, Kevin Porter, Nick Batum, or Terrence Mann, or Chris Dunn, who was out in this one, but we're not holding him. For the Suns, it was Royce O'Neal who started. So we sort of floated some ideas in the pregame show. It wasn't Bradley Beal. He had 9 points with 4 assists and 2 steals off the bench. He looks engaged. To his credit, he's out there and he's playing. Not like Jimmy Butler. What happens in the next 2 weeks, I have no idea. You just hold him. Tyus Jones had 17 points, 4 assists, 1 steal. The points are really nice, but he typically is not going to do this. If you want to hold him, sure. O'Neal, I said he started. He had 11 points with 4 steals. He's fine to stream in, as is Grayson Allen, who had 4 threes in his 18 points. I think I'm okay with all of those guys as stream targets. And Nick Richards, 6 and 7 with a block in just 20 minutes. He was just getting cooked here, so they went in a different direction. They went small. They played a bit of Royce O'Neal, Kevin Durant as small ball centers. Although, I mean, Durant's not small, but he's not a center. They just mixed and match. And this is going to happen with Nick Richards. He's not a great player. He's just the best center they have. So if it's not working, they will go away from him. So just get used to this. It's something you're going to have to live with if you have him on your roster. Okay, let's have a look at some questions. All right, Alex, is Pods worth a pickup for the back-to-back tomorrow and Wednesday? Again, Warriors are one of those teams where I just have no idea what they're doing, and they probably don't know what they're doing. If you wanted to, the back-to-back obviously works in his favour. So, sure, if you've got a spot. Joseph Kim, Io or Veet in a 9-cat rest of season? It's probably Io rest of season. Just because I think once, well, if and when the Hawks get Jalen Johnson back, Ricochet is back already, Hunter's back, Nance will come back. I just think he'll be squeezed out. Where the Bulls tend to find minutes for Dosunmu, it might be 25, it might be 27, which is very borderline. So I think it's probably Io just, as much as I like Veet. Collier or Christie for tomorrow? I'd probably go Christie. I'd probably go Collier. And I was going to say I was worried about his role. Are they going to rest him or something? But I think he's sort of immune. I think it would more likely be Sexton or Keontae George that are rested tomorrow or injured or whatever they, however they phrase it. So, I think Collier maybe, especially if you need assists. Atlanta do seem very uninspiring with Jalen off the court. Yes, you are correct, Alex. They do. They need him badly. And no news is not good news, I don't think, in this situation. Another one from Alex. Do I think Bruce Brown could get moved at the deadline? He does. For his sake, he's been playing really well, but he needs to be on a contending team. As you said, the impact that he had in Denver, and you look what happened when they moved off of him, they weren't as good. So I hope he does. I really hope he does. If Clowney's injury is long-term, will Dayron be a must-add in 12 teams? It's a Brooklyn question. I'd like to say yes, but I don't think so. I'm not sure they will play Dayron and Claxton side by side too much. So, I don't think it really impacts him too much. I still I've talked about adding him wherever you can, because even on a game like tonight where he only played 23 minutes, he put up value. So I don't, I would like holding him, stashing him wherever possible, but I'm not sure the Clowney injury impacts that too much. D'Lo and Johnson seem to be the only Nets players worth the effort. Does Cam Thomas join that list or Tree? No, look, I think once Cam Thomas is back, he'll play. He does not contribute to winning basketball at all. So, and if Cam Johnson is moved, which is still a strong rumor that he will go somewhere, you could actually find that Cam Thomas could be down the stretch. He could be like 27 points, 4 threes. He's a very good free throw shooter. He could be a bit of a difference maker down the stretch. I've got him stashed in a couple of leagues in my IR spot. Lone Dez with Goga playing limited minutes. He still looks much better. He did. So I think, as I said, I think, I wouldn't be disheartened by tonight at all. Cookie Monster, no one will give a 20 guy back for a men. No, they won't. He is a hold. It is trading him now is selling him at peak value, because Jabari Smith will come back at some point, and he's going to impact him. We don't know how, but he is. But you're not going to be able to move him. Is Amen a top 50 per game? I think with Jabari back, if they do the right thing, then yes. If they continue to play him 32 minutes a night, yes, he is. Don't know if that's going to happen. Chad, does the Beal to Chicago situation make any sense? Not really, but I mean, nothing Chicago does makes any sense. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did it, but I don't know why you would get off Levine and onto Beal. Very similar players. maybe it's just a culture kind of a thing. But I mean, Beal doesn't come across as the best culture guy. So no, I'm not sure what they're sort of thinking there. What do we got? Alex, the silence is deafening on the Jalen Johnson injury. Look, does he become a drop? Well, if it's season ending, of course he does. Who would I pick up from the waiver wire? Well, it just depends. It depends on your waiver wire, really. Every league is different. I mean, I could say Khalil Ware. He might not be rostered in your league. He probably is, but you're just looking for a guy. If you drop Jalen Johnson and you want a comparable guy, you want to look for a defensive, like a Tari Eason, if he was available, would be a solid sort of option to replace Jalen Johnson. What have we got? Just trying to get through these relatively quick. Time to stash silly season Rashawn in case JV is traded before Sar gets back. Oh, God, that's getting desperate. I don't think so. Surely not. I don't know. I'll say no. I don't think they're going to play him. I mean, is Bagley coming back ever? Who knows? Ernest, Tobias looks cooked. He does. Options left on your wire, Yabusele, Max Christie, and Micić. Ooh, that's a depressing waiver wire. Are any of them worth a grab? Or do we hold Tobias? I'd probably hold Tobias over those guys, to be honest. Micić, no. Christie, maybe. I'd probably still hold Tobias, I think. Steve, are we trading for Big Jimbo? You want to offer MPJ? You can. I've had a lot of Jim Butler questions today. I guess there's so many ways this could play out. If he's traded, yes, I think it's probably a buy low because he will play and he will want to prove himself, and we assume. And a team is not – we talked about this pregame. I don't think a team is bringing him in to – well, if it's a bad team and they're just bringing him on as a contract to try and free up money at some point or use him as a trade piece, I don't know. A good team for me is not bringing him in. I don't think the Thunder or any of these teams would be interested. Phoenix are obviously the team that are looking at him. So, I think if he's traded, probably. My worry is that if he's traded to a team that has no prospects for winning, does he play or does he just do what he's been doing here? Yeah, in that sense, yeah, I think you could. But what if Miami just don't trade him and they just keep him around and he's suspended or comes off the bench and just sucks for the rest of the season? Then you've basically added a player that's worth nothing. So it's risky. So, yeah, I wouldn't be moving a player probably inside the top 50. MPJ is probably okay if you can absorb the uncertainty there. Alex, are we keeping Keontae for tomorrow's game or dropping for a 6 or Warrior? And these are your names. Look, I'm looking at adding Keontae George in a league, but I do have the flexibility to be able to wait until tomorrow because I wouldn't be surprised if I wake up in the morning and he's on the injury report and I don't want to waste an ad on a guy that doesn't play. So there is some uncertainty there, I think. Of those names that we're looking at for tomorrow who you could add, Edwards is the one that sort of sticks out. Paul George has already been ruled out. Embiid is out. Edwards has been interesting. So I think if you wanted to take a chance on Edwards, you could do that. Oh, chill guy. If I had Ayton, what kind of player would I be trading for? Just looking to get back any value. I'd try and wait until he plays a couple of games. I think he's questionable for their next game, which basically means that they were lying about the knee sprain, because you do not return from a knee sprain after three games. But this is Phoenix we're talking about. I would try and wait. Hopefully he plays two or three games and puts up some numbers. He's going to be really hard to move to anyone that is on the ball and knows about the history and that sort of thing. Ideally, you'd want to try and get a top 50 player for him, but I don't think you will. So top 70, top 80. This is going to depend on who the other managers in your league are. Joseph, have to get Goga and Poeltl off your IL. You have Kaysen Wallace, Tyus Jones, Nick Richards, I'm assuming Vic Creasy. Who should I drop? Punting points and threes. Who would I drop there? I wouldn't drop Nick Richards, I don't think. Especially if you're punting points and threes. Look, Veet might be the drop. If you're punting points and threes, because a lot of his value comes from threes and points, the other three it doesn't as much. So I'd hold Nick Richards and then be out of Kaysen Wallace and Tyus Jones. Do you need assists? That's probably what I'd look at. If you need assists, I'd hold Tyus and drop Kaysen Wallace. If you need steals, I'd hold Kaysen Wallace. Am I doubting that Udoka will not play a Men 32? I am doubting it, yes, because early in the season he did not. I'm hoping that this sample size of what a men's been able to do is enough to convince him, but I'm not certain by any means. Would a Men and Hartenstein or Murphy for Cade? Is that an overpay? Cade's probably pretty good in your league, I assume. So could he be a first rounder? Maybe. Hartenstein. Yeah. I mean, you could probably... a man's hard to move. If you could do Hartenstein and Murphy, I'd do that. I just don't know if I'd give up on a man yet. It's probably not a significant overpay, but maybe slightly. So Steve is in first place. MPJ has been really pissing me off. I was going to do Ayton, but then he got hurt. He's always hurt. All right, let's get to some of these very quickly, and then I'll get out of here. Cade is playing like a first rounder, and a men is too. Yeah, they are. Look, if you could do a men for Cade, sure, I'd do that, but I don't think anyone's giving you Cade for a men. Rank order of these guards, Joseph Kim. Nembhard, Io, Collier, Lonzo. Rest of season? Is that what you're looking at? Let me know if that's rest of season. Should I drop Tobias or PJ in a 12 team? As in PJ Washington? No, not PJ. Or is it four? Is it or four? Are you dropping Tobias for PJ, or are you dropping Tobias or PJ? I would not be dropping PJ. And if you could get PJ off waivers by dropping Tobias, I would do that. I don't want to believe that Udoka would do this and bench. It may be best player, but he's, as I said, he did it earlier in the season. So it's like the Goga situation where until we see it, you don't believe it in this league. Oh, so Ricardo needs to drop one, Tobias or PJ. Tobias, yep. All right. That's it. That's all the questions. Very good. So schedule-wise, tomorrow I will have a pre-game show probably around 3 p.m. Eastern. I will be doing my stash show with Dan. He's actually messaging me right now about it. At, I think, 4 p.m. Eastern, we're doing that. The following day, which is Thursday morning, my time, I'm going to help the Roto World guys. So I'll be hosting that show with Raphael Johnson and Noah Rubin. Dan Titus is, away, unavailable. I don't know where. So they've reached out to me. So I will be hosting that show on the next day as well as my pregame show. And then the following day, which is Thursday afternoon, I'll be doing the live mailbag show with Josh as well as a pregame show. And then we're a week away from trade deadline. So all very exciting. Actually, the next day we'll be doing trade talk in a pregame show. So there will be two shows a day moving for the next few days. So hopefully my voice holds up. Let's just do Joseph Kim's question very quickly because he wanted these guards ranked. Rest of season. All right, let's have a look at who you've got on your list here. Lonzo Ball. So I'd probably have Lonzo sort of top 100. Dosunmu is pretty close as well. Nembhard, I'd have them both ahead of Nembhard, I think. I'm not the biggest Nembhard guy. And Collier is sort of the interesting one here. So I'd have Nembhard last, I think. Io and Lonzo are basically dead even for me. And Collier is interesting. He could be, I think I'd have him after them. So I'd probably go Io, Lonzo, Collier, Nembhard. That'll do. That sounds good. All right, I'm going to get out of here, go and do some stuff. I will be back tomorrow with those two shows. As I said, please, if you are listening to this after the fact, go and download and like and do all of the stuff that I ask. Very good. Oh, hang on. We've got one more question from Wicked Prince. Lucky, you just got me. Thoughts on Bruce Brown in a 12-team points league? Drop Klingon for him. Ooh. Right now, yes. Brown is playing more. He's better in a points league. Klingon is far better in a category league. So, yeah, I think I'd be okay with that at the moment. You might get a week or two out of Bruce Brown and then we'll find out if he's traded or not. I really hope Bruce Brown lands somewhere where he can play 26 minutes plus a night because he's a very good fantasy player, a very good real-life player. So, yes, you're right. With the deadline coming up, it makes it tough because I think post-deadline, Klingon will go up. His trajectory will go up. Bruce Brown's, we don't know. It depends on if he's moved, where he's moved to, what his role looks like. For the next couple of weeks, next week, probably I'd be okay with Brown there in a points league. All right, now I'm going to get out of here once I move this question off. I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.